Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into Bless This Mess, a transformative guide for parents striving to raise Christian children in today's complex world. Authored by the Reverend Molly Basquette, Senior Minister at the First Congregational Church of Berkeley, and Ellen O'Donnell, a PhD in clinical psychology, this book merges deep spiritual insights with the latest advancements in child psychology. Bless This Mess challenges the notion that the terms progressive and Christian are mutually exclusive in parenting, offering a fresh perspective on nurturing faith in the modern era. Reverend Basquette, with her extensive experience in ministry and authorship of impactful books such as Standing Naked Before God and Real Good Church, joins forces with Dr. O'Donnell, a seasoned child psychologist affiliated with Massachusetts General and Shriners Hospital for Children, and an instructor at Harvard Medical School. Together, they provide a roadmap for parents who aspire to reconnect with their faith and foster a progressive Christian upbringing for their children. Ideal for prospective parents eager to integrate progressive values with Christian teachings, current parents seeking to rekindle their childhood faith, and anyone interested in the dynamics of 21st century Christianity, Bless This Mess is a crucial resource in navigating the challenges of modern parenting while deepening family faith. Join us as we explore how this book can make the chaotic journey of parenting a little more guided and a lot more fulfilling. Bless This Mess, a modern guide to faith and parenting in a chaotic world. Introduction: Navigating Parenting with Faith and Progressivism. Raising children in today's rapidly changing world is a daunting task, especially if you're trying to instill a blend of Christian values and progressive thought. Molly Basquette and Ellen O'Donnell, both mothers seeking guidance for nurturing spirited, progressive Christian children, found the available parenting resources lacking. Most literature skipped over tough discussions or handled them with rigidity not resonant with their values. They decided to bridge this gap by leveraging their unique backgrounds: Basquette's extensive experience as a progressive minister and O'Donnell's deep knowledge as a child psychologist. This book summary offers a fresh perspective on parenting, with dual emphasis on Christian teachings and progressivism. Turn to Basquette and O'Donnell's insight for expert advice on fostering moral reasoning in children, understanding the Christian call to social justice, and avoiding the pitfalls of a one-time talk about sensitive issues. By incorporating these fundamentals, you'll be well equipped to guide your children through the complexities of modern societal norms with empathy, courage, and faith. Part 1: Embrace Their Nature. Tailoring parenting to fit your child's personality. In the quest to foster well-rounded and spiritually grounded children, Christian parenting has often clung to outdated maxims like spare the rod and spoil the child. Thankfully, contemporary parenting shifts away from such rigid sayings towards more understanding and supportive approaches. A more apt biblical proverb offers this wisdom: train children the right way, and when grown, they will not stray. The Hebrew text intriguingly suggests this training should align with the child's personal character. This advice invites parents to nurture each child according to their individual temperament, an approach that holds transformative potential for both parent and child. Adapting to your child's unique personality isn't about conforming them to an ideal mold, but rather modifying your parenting style to support their natural dispositions. It prompts vital introspection. What are the inherent strengths and passions of our children? How can our parenting approach bolster their inherent characteristics rather than stifling them under generic expectations? This concept challenges the typical ego involvement found in parenting, where adults might overly invest in their child's accomplishments as if they were their own. Such a perspective can skew the true objective of parenting: to foster an environment where children can explore and excel in their personal interests and abilities, not merely fulfill parental aspirations. For instance, Discerning the unique path for each child might mean accepting that while one child might thrive in a prestigious academic environment, another may find their calling in a more hands-on, vocational pursuit. This understanding requires letting go of preconceived notions of success and embracing the diverse forms fulfillment can take. This reframing of parenting tactics encourages a foundation built on recognizing and respecting each child's individuality. By stepping back and observing without projecting our biases or desires, we foster a nurturing space where children can grow into their best selves, aligned with the divinely imbued temperament they possess. Part 2: How to cultivate independence and motivation in your home. Transforming our parenting strategies to better support our children's growth can initially seem overwhelming. Fortunately, self-determination theory provides a valuable blueprint. This psychological framework underscores an innate motivational drive within everyone, knowledge that can empower parents to nurture their children's self-reliance and determination effectively. At the root of self-determination theory lies a critical component, autonomy. To foster a drive within your children, it's essential to encourage them to make choices and control their own lives. This doesn't just build independence, it cultivates a sense of control and decision-making ability, affirming their capacity to steer their own paths. Implementing this concept at home can be straightforward. Encouraging your children's autonomy can be as simple as offering them choices in their daily routines. When children feel their opinion matters, whether it's picking out clothes or selecting what to have for breakfast, they learn to trust their instincts and appreciate their capacity to make decisions. Consider an example where your child opts to wear shorts on a chilly day. A mere directive to change might seem simpler, but taking the opportunity to discuss why pants might be the better option teaches valuable lessons in weighing decisions. However, if they persist, it's crucial to balance autonomy with structure. This leads to the essential element of structure. Autonomy doesn't mean without limits. Structure, setting boundaries and understanding consequences, is pivotal in helping children see the frameworks within which their choices exist. If your child insists on the shorts, explaining the potential consequences, like catching a cold, and enforcing an appropriate decision, like wearing pants during winter, illustrates how autonomy operates within certain practical boundaries. Moreover, involvement rounds out these concepts by emphasizing emotional warmth and securing the child's sense of belonging and validation. If your child still insists on shorts due to peer interactions or comfort, engage in that conversation. Show empathy and readiness to understand their perspective, reinforcing that their feelings and opinions are valued and respected. By combining autonomy, structure, and involvement, you create a nurturing environment that promotes both independence and responsibility, essential skills in navigating the complexities of growing up. This balanced approach, rooted in self-determination theory, ensures your child feels both empowered and loved, a combination that fuels their inner motivation and resilience. Part 3: Teaching kids the complexity of morals and the power of empathy. In a world inclined towards clear-cut judgments, embracing moral ambiguity and fostering empathy in our children can be game-changing. Jesus Christ himself demonstrated nuanced moral views during times dominated by stark right and wrong distinctions, advocating for those often shunned by society. As parents aiming to raise compassionate and understanding individuals, introducing our children to the concept of moral ambiguity is crucial. From a young age, children are bombarded with narratives featuring distinct heroes and villains, which can overly simplify the spectrum of human behavior. When your child inquires about the good guy and the bad guy in a story, it opens up an invaluable opportunity to delve into more complex ethical discussions. This is your chance to explain that everyone makes both good and bad choices, and that no one is wholly good or evil, aligning with the Christian belief that God loves all. Furthering their moral education means prompting children to consider the reasons behind someone's negative actions. Why might a bully act aggressively? What life experiences could have led someone to commit a crime? Discussing these questions can guide your children away from snap judgments and towards a deeper understanding of human behavior. Simultaneously, cultivating empathy is of equal importance. Following Jesus' teachings to love all, even our enemies, depends on the ability to empathize, to put ourselves in another's shoes, and to feel with them. This cultivation begins at home, with parents modeling empathy through their everyday actions. Imagine a scenario in driving where someone cuts you off. Instead of expressing frustration, turn this into a lesson of empathy by speculating benign reasons for their hurry, perhaps an emergency. Engaging your children in this speculation not only teaches them to think more kindly of others, but also helps them practice empathy actively. Ultimately, replacing simplistic moral labels with an understanding of moral ambiguity and actively practicing empathy will not only align with core Christian values, but will also equip our children to navigate a complex world with compassion and wisdom. These lessons in the home are foundational, helping shape the next generation into thoughtful, empathetic individuals. Part 4. Instilling enduring values in children without the lure of rewards. Children, while a part of our lives, are unique individuals with their independent thoughts and decisions. They won't and shouldn't mimic our every belief and action. But how do we ensure that they absorb and live by the core values we hold dear in our family? Begin by clearly defining and articulating your family values. Whether it's honest communication, empathy, or integrity, make these concepts clear. You could even involve your children in crafting a family mission statement. Once penned, place this statement somewhere central in your home to keep these values top of mind for everyone. Next, integrate these values into the everyday decision-making process of your child. Regularly relate choices back to your family's principles, making it a teachable moment. For example, if faced with the choice of visiting an elderly relative or not, you might remind your child, "Remember, we value caring for each other's feelings in our family." This method not only fosters a child's independence and critical thinking, but also aligns with one of the key pillars of effective parenting, structure. By detailing the potential impact of their actions, children learn to consider the broader consequences of their decisions, guided but not constrained by family values. It's crucial, however, to distinguish between instilling values through understanding and relying on rewards or punishments. The latter, though common, often fails to promote long-term adherence to values. For instance, promising a treat to incentivize room cleaning might work temporarily, but it doesn't teach the intrinsic value of cleanliness and responsibility. Once the reward is removed, the motivation often disappears as well. Similarly, turning beneficial activities like reading into tasks tied to monetary rewards can diminish a child's natural interest, positioning the activity as a chore rather than a pleasurable and enriching experience. Instead, emphasize the inherent benefits of these actions. Highlight how keeping a clean room leads to a more pleasant living environment or how reading expands knowledge and imagination. Through consistent practice and engagement, children can internalize these values, making decisions that reflect their family's principles, not because they are rewarded, but because they truly believe in them. This teaches them to act with integrity and purpose, regardless of external incentives or recognitions. Part 5. Teaching children the balance of generosity and financial wisdom. Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount caution us against the spiritual distractions of wealth, even suggesting an extreme detachment from material possessions. While not all of us are called to give up everything, there are practical, impactful ways we can instill in our children the value of generosity, balanced with sensible financial habits, as guided by these teachings. A moderate yet substantial practice to foster generosity is tithing, which involves donating a tenth of one's income to charity, churches, or others in need. This traditional biblical practice not only aligns with spiritual teachings, but also ties into modern findings from social sciences. Studies suggest that generosity boosts happiness, health, and gratitude among givers, a phenomenon often described as the paradox of generosity. However, before we can be generous, We need to manage what we have wisely, especially if finances are tight. This provides a great opportunity to engage children in distinguishing between wants and needs. Together, you can identify and cut back on non-essential expenses to free up resources for charitable giving. Children often enjoy the process of identifying what expenses can be eliminated, making the lesson both educational and engaging. To further prepare children for responsible financial stewardship, consider allowing them to manage their own money at a young age. This could start with an allowance that is divided into three equal parts: 1/3 for savings, 1/3 for spending, and 1/3 for giving. This hands-on management helps them understand the value of money and prepares them for financial independence. Encouraging teenagers to take on jobs is another step towards financial responsibility and independence. Their earnings can also be divided using the same three-part formula, reinforcing lessons in saving, spending responsibly, and giving generously. While we focus on financial giving, it's equally important to remember that generosity isn't limited to monetary contributions. The next step in nurturing well-rounded, charitable individuals involves teaching them to also give their time and energy to causes and people in need, an area we will explore further in the following discussions. This holistic approach to generosity prepares our children not only to manage money wisely, but also to live fulfilling, service-oriented lives. Part 6. Empowering children to embrace social justice and kindness. Social justice may seem like a contemporary buzzword, but its roots are deep-seated in the teachings of Jesus, who advocated for kindness, fairness, and the upliftment of the downtrodden throughout the Bible. To translate these timeless lessons to our children, it's crucial they develop a genuine concern for others, particularly those who are less privileged. Many parents naturally hope their children will grow to be kind, yet often, children perceive that their parents value their happiness above all. This mismatch highlights the need for clear communication about our expectations and values. Rather than solely focusing on personal achievements or feelings, encourage discussions about the emotional impact of their actions on others. For instance, prompt your child to consider how their decisions, like inviting or excluding a peer from a social event, affect that person's feelings. To take these values beyond family discussions, actively involve your children in social justice efforts and community service. Such activities can provide practical experiences of empathy and compassion. Educate them about historical and ongoing social issues. If you're in the United States, discussing the civil rights movement and current racial injustices can make abstract concepts more concrete and relatable. However, fostering a spirit of tolerance is just the beginning. It's vital to teach children that every individual deserves love and respect, regardless of differences. Exposing your children to diverse cultures and communities can greatly enhance their understanding and appreciation of this diversity. If possible, choose environments, such as schools, social groups, or places of worship, that are culturally and ethnically diverse. Consider the role of your religious community in this educational journey. If you belong to a church, look for one that values and reflects diversity in its congregation. By doing so, you provide your children with a model of an inclusive community, consistent with the teachings of Jesus about love and acceptance for all. In cultivating these values from a young age, we not only honor the ethical teachings of Jesus, but also equip our children with the empathy, respect, and sense of justice they need to navigate and positively impact a complex world. Part 7. Approaching sensitive topics with ongoing conversations and understanding. The long-employed strategy of the singular talk about drugs, alcohol, and sex has proven not only daunting for parents, but also often ineffective for children. Faced with the challenge of discussing these sensitive subjects, a more progressive and nuanced approach aligns better with both Christian values and practical parenting. Instead of a one-time, all-encompassing talk, envision an ongoing dialogue that adapts and grows as your child does. Starting early is key. For instance, teaching children the correct anatomical terms lays a foundation of comfort and confidence around discussions of their bodies. Treat the questions they ask with seriousness and respect, whether they come from a place of innocence or curiosity. As children mature, the discussions should evolve into more complex territories like sexuality and intimacy. Replace rigid absolutes with informed conversations that emphasize autonomy, support, structure, and involvement. Rather than dictating behaviors, offer guidance that helps them evaluate consequences and make informed decisions. This could involve a practical discussion on the nuances of contraception and the importance of consent, ensuring they understand the multifaceted nature of relationships and personal health. When broaching the topic of drugs and alcohol, similarly nuanced discussions are essential. For alcohol, consider demystifying its consumption by allowing older children to partake occasionally in controlled circumstances, such as a diluted glass of wine during a family dinner. This method helps differentiate casual drinking from problematic behaviors, teaching responsible use rather than instilling fear or curiosity about the forbidden. Regarding drugs, clarify the variances in substance effects and risks. A blanket statement that all drugs are bad lacks the subtlety needed to navigate real-life situations they may encounter. Discussing the difference between marijuana and more dangerous substances like cocaine or heroin helps them understand the spectrum of drug use and the varying degrees of risk involved. Ultimately, replacing the traditional talk with continuous open dialogue removes the stigma and mystery surrounding these topics, fostering a better understanding and preparation for making safe choices. This approach encourages smarter, consciousness-informed decisions grounded in family values and personal responsibility. Part 8. Incorporating faith into daily family life through simple, meaningful practices. In a world that never seems to slow down, finding time to incorporate spirituality into our daily lives can feel increasingly challenging. For many Christians, truly observing a day of rest on Sunday like it's intended can seem nearly impossible with the rush of modern life. However, inspiration can be drawn from the Jewish tradition of Shabbat, an observance of rest starting Friday evening with the lighting of candles, blessing of food, and abstaining from work for 24 hours. This example demonstrates how setting aside dedicated time for rest and reflection isn't just a luxury. It's a profound way of honoring one of the Ten Commandments and reconnecting with faith. Another effective way to weave religious practices into your family's daily routine is through open dialogue about faith. Encouraging your children to ask questions about God and discussing spiritual topics openly can strengthen the family's faith journey together. If you're concerned about not having all the answers, remember that it's okay to respond from personal experience or admit uncertainties. For more complex inquiries, a children's Bible can be an invaluable resource, offering accessible explanations suitable for young minds and perhaps refreshing your own understanding of the scriptures. Praying together as a family is another potent ritual to deepen your spiritual connection. This practice isn't just about reciting prayers. It's a chance for each family member to express their fears, hopes, and gratitude, revealing their vulnerabilities and reinforcing the notion that no one, not even adults, is invincible. Children learning this from their parents understand that everyone needs support and empathy. Furthermore, prayer sessions can extend empathy beyond the immediate family. They can be moments to reflect on the plights of others around the world, promoting a sense of global consciousness and compassion. Likewise, gratitude takes a central role as families thank God for their blessings, from the food on their table to the roof over their heads. Of course, one of the most straightforward yet profound actions you can take is attending church services as a family. Participating in your local church not only nurtures your family's spiritual growth, but also connects you to a wider community of faith, embodying the Christian principle of loving and supporting one another. Implementing these simple yet significant rituals can help ensure that spirituality remains a cornerstone of daily life, providing your family with strength, comfort, and a sense of community. Part 9. Facing fears with faith, teaching resilience through prayer and courage. As parents, it's natural to worry about the safety and well-being of our children amidst the uncertainties of the world. Interestingly, prayer can serve as a potent tool to mitigate these anxieties. Engaging in prayer helps us to accept that some aspects of life are simply beyond our control. By praying, we acknowledge that our power has limits and that incessant worry is ultimately futile. This surrender can provide a sense of peace, recognizing that we have done our part and must leave the rest to a higher power. However, anxiety is not exclusive to adults. Children too can be profoundly affected by fears and worries. It's crucial to address these anxieties appropriately, because the instinct to protect our children by avoiding fear-inducing situations can actually do more harm than good. Research in psychology suggests that avoidance can reinforce anxiety rather than alleviate it. For example, if a child is scared of interacting with others, letting them retreat to their comfort zone, like their room during gatherings, can solidify their fear rather than dispel it. They miss the opportunity to learn that social settings can be navigated safely and even enjoyably. Instead, their fears are validated and avoidance becomes their coping mechanism. To help children overcome such fears, it's beneficial to approach their anxieties with empathy while also promoting courage and resilience. Encouraging your child to face their fears, even in small, manageable ways, can lead to significant breakthroughs. If a child is nervous about social interactions, gentle encouragement to step out and say hello during a family gathering could be a start. This not only shows that you understand and care about their feelings, but also reinforces the idea that fears are often larger in our heads than in reality. Through this approach, we teach our children an invaluable life lesson: that facing their fears, underpinned by faith and family support, is often the best way to overcome them. Rather than sheltering them from every potential source of anxiety, equipping them with the courage to confront these situations head-on can foster a sense of competency and self-confidence that will serve them throughout life. Prayer, combined with practical action, instills a deep-rooted strength and reassurance that they are never alone in their struggles. Final summary: balancing Christian and progressive principles in parenting not only complements each other, but also enriches the upbringing of children. Utilizing the Bible's teachings, parents can guide their children through addressing social injustices, embracing generosity, and fostering a life that is both spiritually fulfilling and responsibly independent. By intertwining the foundational Christian values of love, compassion, and stewardship with progressive ideas such as inclusivity, autonomy, and critical thinking, parents create a dynamic environment. This approach empowers children to become conscientious, caring adults who are equipped to make thoughtful, ethical decisions in a complex world. Thus, Christian parenting and progressive strategies are not at odds but are mutually enhancing, offering a robust framework for raising children who are not only faith-oriented but also deeply engaged with the broader world and its diverse challenges. This synthesis encourages a generation that is well prepared to contribute positively and lead with both faith and open-mindedness in their actions and interactions. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.